It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Debut edition of the 12-team college football playoff ranking and seeding. It's been a very interesting format to see that they both ranked the teams but also seeded them. And the seedings are much different than the rankings for a couple of different teams. And joining me now to talk about it is John Bryce, the footballscoop.com national football columnist with those guys. John, I spoke to you a couple of months ago. It's been a wild, weird season already, and feels like we're just getting going now that the first rankings are out. How you doing this evening, man?
I'm good, Abe. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was interested in the format. I didn't know if they were just going to seed them or rank them without seeding. They actually gave us both. We had seedings and rankings of note here for Georgia fans. While Georgia is seeded too, they are actually behind Ohio State in the rankings, according to the College Football Playoff Committee. And the interesting one was BYU, who gets the number 4 seed and automatic first-round bye, was ranked number 9 in the actual rankings, not seedings. Just in general, John, what were your first impressions from how things went tonight and how teams were set up?
Yeah, I think that Penn State is grotesquely overrated. I think that the Boise State BYU situation is certainly very compelling. And I think that Georgia should be the number 2 team. And honestly, I would pick Georgia much more comfortably against Ohio State in a head-to-head than I would feel picking Oregon over Miami in a head-to-head. And that's just being completely candid with you.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, let's talk about Georgia then real quick, because there's obviously some concerns. Now, they're winning games and doing what they got to do, and they got a big one against a top 20 team on the road against Ole Miss this weekend. But Carson Beck, man, like another 3 interceptions against Florida, and he's had a bunch of multiple interception games already this year, including a couple of them that have been 3 interceptions. What do you see is going on with Carson Beck in the Georgia offense, and can they still win a national championship if he doesn't play much cleaner brand of football?
Well, he's got to play a much cleaner brand of football. Look, this is a guy that a year ago had a 4-1 TD to INT ratio, and this year it's barely 2-1. And that's significant, especially for a Georgia team that has a lesser margin of error, in my opinion, than it did a year ago. Georgia does not have the guys that scare you on the perimeter the way that an Ohio State does. I just think that otherwise Georgia is a better football team than Ohio State. But I think that Carson Beck absolutely has to play much better. I will say, and I might have said it on your show back in August or whenever, I felt going into the year that Carson Beck was a little bit overrated. I just hadn't seen enough from him to call him the definitively best quarterback in college football, as some people had done, and projected him as potentially the number 1 quarterback selected in the 25 NFL draft. I didn't feel either one of those things. He's a very good college football quarterback, but this year with lesser talent around him, he has not elevated his offense the way that he's needed to. Having said all that, you don't bet against Kirby in massive games where he can motivate his team the way that he prefers to motivate his team. And we've seen it all through the years. If Georgia is doubted, or if Georgia is some sort of slight underdog, Kirby Smart is really, really elite at motivating his team. He had no problem reminding everyone of that a few weeks ago at Texas, and it would be the same scenario in any sort of playoff game if it was a Georgia, Ohio State, or Georgia, Oregon.
John, I was in section 434 of Everbank Stadium for Florida, Georgia this past weekend, but I am an Indiana alum, and I was keeping an eye on it, and you look early on, and they go down 10-0. They run 47 straight. They don't let Michigan State score again. They've been doing this on offense all year long. Defensively, though, the past couple of weeks, they've really ramped it up, starting, I guess, maybe with that game against Nebraska. What do you see out of this Indiana team? And do you think they can compete not just with a Michigan coming up on their schedule, but really with the big boys at the top?
Well, first of all, Abe, my wife also is an IU grad, so
yeah.
She would, disown me if I didn't give a Hoosiers to you. But I think IU can compete with most teams in this college football playoff ranking. I would not like IU against Oregon or Georgia. We'll find out soon enough against Ohio State. I wouldn't pick IU to be within 10 points of a Texas. But I think IU has much more substance to it than Penn State. It's hard for me to overstate how disappointed I am that Penn State is your number six team in tonight's rankings. I just think, look, if Minnesota doesn't notch a couple more wins and find a way to be ranked when they host Penn State to end the season, Penn State's going to have the worst 11-1 record that I can remember in a really, really long time, maybe ever, because we haven't had 12-game schedules for only about two decades. They could be 11-1 without a single win against a ranked opponent. Now, look, I know USC has talent, and USC wasn't completely off the cliff in the Pacific Ocean at the time that Penn State went out there and rallied back to win that game in overtime. But that's a very mid USC team, and that's frankly Penn State's best win to this point, in my opinion.
John Bryce of FootballScoop.com joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline on the night in which the debut edition of the college football playoff rankings, the committee doing their job, and it was a different job this year. Had to do it for 12 teams. You get the seedings. I'm kind of with you on Penn State. I had them at 8, not at 6. I still had them above Tennessee, Boise State, Bama, and Notre Dame. I think you're starting to get down to it where, quite frankly, and I know people want to argue all these teams have chances, that some of these teams just aren't, like, that good. They're not bad, but they're not really that good. I don't think Notre Dame, in my opinion, is threatening to win a national championship this year, but someone's got to be in the top 12, and they found their way in there. One of the things that we had, John, was a real shift last week because of results, and it looked for me like for a while, there was real potential for the ACC and the Big 12 to get multiple teams in. And this was a world in which Clemson and Miami meet in the ACC title game and BYU and Iowa State meet in the Big 12 title game. And things are a little bit different now. Is there still a path for either of those conferences to get two teams into the top 12?
You know, Abe, I couldn't agree more, and I said the same thing a week ago, that suddenly out of almost nowhere, it was trending at the time. Like, if we had done this visit a week ago tonight, then I would have said the ACC and the Big 12 both were trending toward two teams apiece. And now I think there might still be a path for the ACC if SMU handles business the rest of the way and, say, an 11-1 SMU faces a 12-0 Miami in the ACC championship, and SMU's only loss at that point in time would be to a presumptive Big 12 champion BYU, then I could see the ACC getting both Miami and SMU into the 12-team playoff at that point in time. I have a hard time seeing the Big 12. I think they've got longer odds to get two teams in than I do the ACC. Just a really debilitating loss for that conference for Iowa State to lose to a Texas Tech team that had given up 60-something points to a Baylor team that has Dave Aranda fighting for his coaching life and a bunch of controversy surrounding the helmet and headset and walkie-talkie communications in that game, and the Big 12 investigating things there. So I think the Big 12 suffered the biggest loss of the weekend. I don't think that the ACC is out of the question from getting two teams in. And one final point I just want to make about Penn State, and I know I'm harping on it here, but Ward Manuel tonight said, well, we ranked Penn State there because their game with Ohio State, our number two team, was back and forth the whole time. What a crap statement that is, Abe. Ohio State led for the final 51 minutes in that game. That's not back and forth. Give me a break. Penn State didn't score an offensive touchdown at home for like the first time since 2000. That's not a back and forth game. Ohio State won that game despite Penn State having every significant tangible and intangible benefit going into it.
And if we're going to play that game, John, I recall a game earlier in the season by a team that's ranked, let's see, 12, that was actually back and forth, that was on the road, and that did feature some toss-ups in the final minutes. Of course, I'm referring to Boise State and Oregon. And I think that's certainly an argument you could make, is that you're playing recency bias of what was a good game recently, but I would say a better game much earlier at the start of the season.
Yeah, Boise State looked exponentially more competitive and competent from a big picture standpoint against Oregon than what Penn State ultimately looked in that game against Ohio State. And Boise State, mind you, was not at home for that contest. Boise State was supposed to be run out of the duck pond in that game, and instead it was there the entire time. And it was standing toe-to-toe with Oregon the entire time. And, again, Penn State had so many opportunities to win this game. My colleague Zach Barnett wrote about it at Football Scoop. If not this past weekend, then whenever for James Franklin at Penn State. And I've had a lot of people, multiple other colleagues of mine back in my Knoxville roots, say Penn State football and Tennessee basketball under James Franklin and Rick Barnes respectively are awfully similar, and it's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, and the other thing, just to wrap it up on the Penn State thing, is I don't know how much I'm really sold on Ohio State right now. That game against, was it Nebraska the week before, where they really had to eke it out. They have not been dominant either, and so I'm still a little bit of jury's out on them too. John Price of FootballScoop.com, national columnist, college football, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Final question for you, John, and it has been back and forth, up and down. I don't really know where to go with it. How do you handicap the Heisman right now?
You know, I think it's probably Cam Ward and Ashton Jeanty, and I don't know that it's necessarily in that order. It might be Ashton Jeanty and then Cam Ward. As of right now, Cam Ward is going to have more signature opportunities of a higher profile nature than what Ashton Jeanty will have, but to me it's those two versus the field. I'm a little shocked that Shedeur Sanders hasn't gotten more consideration. Travis Hunter, I think, had he not been nicked up and dinged up and had to miss parts or all of a game, would be the guy. I think Travis Hunter is the single best player in college football this year. I would be surprised if he's not in New York City as a finalist, but I'm not sure he's going to have what I call as many opportunity contests down the stretch as what Cam Ward will have.
Yeah, and we're going to get a good look locally here at Cam Ward, Georgia Tech facing Miami, and Georgia Tech's past the, I would not say elite. And so Cam Ward's got an opportunity for another 400-plus and who knows how many touchdowns. So we'll keep an eye on that. John, as always, appreciate you joining me. Thanks again for the time and for the conversation.
I appreciate it, Abe. Give me some good news on the MLB hot stove for our Braves as we move forward the rest of the year.
Well, to be honest, that's what we're going to do actually in our next segment. I got a couple Braves nuggets that they're not good. They're not good nuggets. So you'll just have to tune in on the Odyssey app. But you might not want to based on where it's headed. But appreciate it as always, John. John Price.
You got it, bro.
Of FootballScoop.com. Thank you so much.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.